This is the Friday, September 29th, 2017 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now is Tom Fitzenmaier. Tom, welcome back.
Thanks, Mike.
Now, on the program, we did not have a chance to really get too in-depth on the state of the U.S. dollar. We had a Fed meeting 2 weeks ago. Rates are staying the same for now. It looks like we might still get another hike throughout the year. Where's the dollar going? Are we going to get any tailwinds from a cheaper dollar for exports?
Well, we have had. I mean, the dollar's really rallied quite nicely over the last couple months or so here. I think that and sort of had some follow through after Yellen announced that her intention is still raise rates. I think at the December FOMC meeting, I think the market now is considering that about a 76% chance that that's going to happen. And then she talked about three rates and increases again in 2018. Now, it's questionable whether she'll still be the Fed chair, but anyway, that's the intention. And all of that put together, in addition to what's happened over in Europe over the last couple of months, has given us a nice spark. Now, my chart work shows that the dollar topped out probably Thursday and has started to roll over. So I'm looking for some kind of a correction here over the next 2 to 3 weeks, and then we'll have to see what the news is, whether we can make another run. It seems unlikely we're going to take out the lies that we've put in this week for a while, unless some real news. Because, you know, the dollar strength is mostly related to the differential advantage of the dollar over other currencies, and I don't see that differential changing all that much for a while here anyway.
Okay. Now, we do have a bunch of great questions from our followers on Facebook and on Twitter. We encourage all of you to send us your questions for our analysts. But this first one is from David in Edgar, Wisconsin, and it's bringing back to a topic we touched on in the show. He's asking, how is storage looking for corn and soybeans this year, and how much is carryover, and how will that affect harvest and prices? Tom, do you have any more thoughts as we think about storage in particular?
Well, we said the carryout was huge. The farmer really held a lot of last year's corn over, and not quite to the same extent in beans. So I think corn's really going to be the issue. I don't see how we don't have problems. I mean, you and I were talking in the break there that they're already starting to pile old crop corn out on piles outside, and I recognize there was some new storage built, but not that much new storage built. So I think it's going to be a problem. I think it's going to be a basis problem for producers all winter long, probably into the spring. It just doesn't look like a real great situation to me.
So we're looking at tight storage, probably on the commercial side, fairly expensive storage if you can get your hands on some.
Right.
We're looking at a terrible basis. So we've got every incentive for folks to continue to build bins, continue to, you know, bag corn on the farm. Are we just setting ourselves up for this same scenario next harvest?
Well, the good news is that there's pretty good carry out into July. There's almost a 30-cent carry out into July. And I know we've advocated this forever, but the best thing to do is stick it in a bin, sell the carry, and be satisfied that that's about as good as you're going to do. Now, the problem is, I say that, but what most people do is say, oh, he says wait till July. So they stick it in the bin and then do nothing. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is there's a tendency for each successive month to go down to where the previous month went off. So that carry gets taken out of the market. That's the reason why you want to sell it. But if you're sitting on corn in the bin and not doing that, then you're going to see all that nice 30 cent premium erode on you to nothing. So it's a good strategy if you implement it. If you use it as an excuse to do nothing, probably not going to work out much better than last year did.
Okay. Next question is from Tim in Crookston, Minnesota, and he asked, new crop beans, do we sell off the combine or store?
If you can get nine basis November futures, 980 to 1017, I'd be selling them. I see no rally great enough to offset commercial storage charges. Now, maybe, you know, if you can put them in the bin, look for some basis improvement into the end of the year, first of next year, which you frequently get. That would certainly be something to do. And then if you do get those rallies into the areas I talked about because of South American weather problems primarily, then make the sales. But I wouldn't just stick it in the bin and forget about it, that's for sure.
Now, when you're thinking about, let's say we're getting those prices, we're going to just go ahead and mark it right off the combine, haul it to town, open up some cash flow and all of that.
Right.
Given the uncertainty that we're looking at right now with South American weather, plus the fact that we continue to grow huge crops in both countries, Brazil, you know, Argentina and North America, and demand has stayed relatively strong, is there a play to be made in re-ownership of those beans?
Possibly.
Okay.
Yeah, especially if they'd happen to beat it up pretty hard. We never talked about this in the show, but you're right. The demand, particularly from China, has been phenomenal. The export sales number this week was the highest we've had on record. Not necessarily totally on record, because we had 2 years when there was a big rollover from old crop to new crop that it made it look like sales were bigger. And then we had 1 year when the government was shut down, so all the sales announced were a three-week accumulation. But in just terms of a regular old week, this was a record week for export sales. So we're lagging a little bit behind last year, but we're really catching up. So demand for beans is quite solid, and we're going to be in the driver's seat for a few months here until South America has some. So that's going to be a supportive thing for beans for sure. And if you want to re-own, that depends on how you're wired. Obviously, the best thing to do is buy the futures on the low and have them rally. That's the ideal thing. If you're a little more of a scaredy cat on that, the option premiums have been cranked down, volatility is down on them, so you might want to look at buying some sort of an option or a bull call spread or something to sort of a chicken way to re-own it a little bit without tying up a ton of money.
Right, without having to worry about a margin call.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Next question. Andrew in Oneida, Illinois, wants to know, and it's kind of similar to what we've been talking about. He says, with very depleted subsoil moisture, which historically precedes the worst droughts, is there a relatively safe speculative play to build a long position in 2018 crops?
Well, I guess I'd defer to what I just said.
On the bean side, yes. Yeah. What about corn?
In corn, again, option premiums are down there pretty low. Volatility's low. If that's something that you think is a possibility, that'd be the way to play it. If we get prices back down toward the lows, December corn in that December of 17 corn in that 345-344 range, I think you can probably own the futures in whatever month you feel most comfortable with, and probably can catch a little bit of a rally. I don't know. I'm always a little nervous about buying corn on a depleted fall subsoil moisture, since it could rain for the next 2 months, and then it could rain all of April and May, and all of a sudden the subsoil is fine. So, that's a bit of a dicey play, but who knows? Sometimes he's right. I mean, sometimes when you're dry in the fall, it does precede a dry summer in the next year. So it certainly can't rule it out.
Okay. And I believe you mentioned on the program, we could see, we have seen this dryness in Brazil pushing back soybean plantings, which then pushes back the second crop, safrinha corn.
Right.
And that would possibly be favorable to corn if it gets pushed back sufficiently that now it's pollinating in the heat of the Brazilian summer. And
the thing I question is what's acreage going to do next year, because the price differential between new crop corn and new crop beans doesn't favor one or the other is the way it looks to me. So what's the farmer going to do? Are they going to plant beans because it seems like the price is better than corn? I don't know. People don't tend to like to have beans on beans, which to me means we're probably going to bump corn acres next year, which offsets some of that weather concern. So there's a lot of balls in the air here on that strategy.
Okay. But it is a little riskier strategy.
Yeah, but he's right. If you go into the winter dry, you come out dry, and you don't replenish, then that's going to be supportive next June, July, for sure.
All right. Well, Tom Fitzmyer, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us this week.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
And we are having a bit of a drought, ladies and gentlemen, of our own when it comes to questions about the basics of trading or trends in the marketplace. So we'd like to get a few more questions in video form so we can use them right here on Market Plus. Direct message us on Twitter or send an email to markettomarket@iptv.org for the details. So join us again next week when Walt Hackney and Elaine Cubb will sit across from me at the Market to Market table. Until then, thanks for watching or listening. I'm Mike Pearson. Have a great week.